hardly 30 years after the Auschwitz crematoria, that cemetery without end, with the image of Dr. Mengele still fresh in our minds, standing there among the rows of Jews, of the men and of the women, of the children and of the babies, pointing his finger to the right, to death, to the left, to life. And there was no one to save them. Well, now there is. Now we declare for all to hear, never again. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 258. Joy, mourning, and unity on the 4th of July. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is one of the most famous quotes associated with the original 4th of July, a statement about the importance of national unity, cited as being said by Benjamin Franklin upon the approval of the Declaration of Independence. Franklin is quoted as saying, "We must all hang together, or we will most assuredly all hang separately." With the advent of July 4th, 1976, Americans, expecting to focus on the bicentennial, suddenly heard news of an incredible Israeli operation that took place on the other side of the world. But it was in Jerusalem, on the 4th of July, that what was felt was a spirit of national unity that was like few moments in Israel's history. Meanwhile, a young Israeli found himself on the day of the bicentennial in Boston, the city of John and Samuel Adams, of John Hancock and Paul Revere. He was looking forward to experiencing the celebration and would instead receive the worst possible news in the midst of learning of Israel's extraordinary achievement, experiencing a loss that would reverberate in the story of his family and, therefore, in the story of Jerusalem and the Jewish state. In his book, The Prime Ministers, Yehuda Avner gives us an account of the unity that was experienced in Jerusalem, for he tells us of the speech given by the leader of the opposition, Menachem Begin, in the Knesset. At that time, Yehuda Avner was working for Prime Minister Rabin and did not yet know that Menachem Begin would have such an impact ultimately on his own life. As Yehuda Avner tells us, Menachem Begin, speaking in the Knesset, said, quote, "Not since the Six-Day War has our nation known such a profound sense of unity. We shared a common anxiety and a sense of fraternal love for our people, emanating from the resolve to rescue our brothers and our sisters in peril. Perhaps it was because of this unity that we found within ourselves the capacity to mount such a momentous operation, a rescue mission unprecedented in gallantry and daring." And he continued, "There are no battles without sacrifices. We bow our heads before the grieving families who lost loved ones, among them a most valiant commander who charged at the head of his troops with the battle cry, 'Follow me.' In the name of the whole nation of Israel, we pay tribute to our armed forces, to our chief of staff, and to his comrades in arms. These officers and men have proven that the generation of the Maccabees has risen anew." End quote. Of course, the valiant commander to whom Menachem Begin referred was Yoni Netanyahu. And Yoni Netanyahu's father was, like Begin, a disciple of Zev Jabotinsky and had served as secretary to Jabotinsky in the last years of Jabotinsky's life. But at this moment, Bencio Netanyahu was not in Israel, but rather in Ithaca, New York, in Cornell University. And Yoni Netanyahu's brother, Binyamin Netanyahu, was in MIT. He had been looking forward to marking this quintessentially American moment, the bicentennial, in the Boston area. As Binyamin Netanyahu writes in his memoir, quote, "The days leading up to July 4, 1976 were filled with anticipation. For me and many others, the American bicentennial celebrated the birth of liberty in the modern world. Tall ships sailed into Boston Harbor. Families were planning their long weekends. Picnics abounded. It would have been a glorious day for us Israeli students at MIT too, but it was marred by the news that we had received earlier in the week of the hijacking of an Air France plane. The plane had taken off from Tel Aviv, destined for Paris, until the hijackers diverted it to Entebbe, the main airport of Uganda. The news reports said that negotiations had begun between Israel's government and Ugandan dictator Idi Amin to secure the release of the hostages. Then, on the morning of July 4, breaking news swept the entire world. An Israeli force had carried out a daring rescue mission in Uganda, liberated the hostages, and was flying them back to Israel. The report added that one officer was killed. My elation over the rescue was abruptly cut short. Why did they say officer? Normally they would say soldier." End quote. Soon after, Binyamin Netanyahu learned that the distinguished officer that had fallen was his brother Yoni. And the 4th of July, instead of being a day of celebration, was a day on which he would make his way to Ithaca to experience the profoundly painful moment in which he would tell his parents of the loss that would mark their family forever. Soon after, the funeral for Yoni Netanyahu would take place in Jerusalem. At the funeral, Unity also joined all those that were there, Israelis from very different political backgrounds, giving eloquent tribute to the heroism of Yoni Netanyahu. It was during the Shiva that Benjamin Netanyahu first learned about a collection of letters that his brother Yoni had written as a teenager. As he tells us in his memoir, in one of those letters, Yoni Netanyahu had written, quote, "Death does not frighten me. I don't fear it because I attribute little value to a life without a purpose. And if I should have to sacrifice my life to attain its goal, I will do so willingly." End quote. There was a profound spirit of unity in Jerusalem at this Shiva. And, as Yehuda Avner further notes, on July 4th, in his speech, Menachem Begin emphasized unity, saying the following to Yitzhak Rabin, quote, "Mr. Prime Minister, you and I belong to different political factions. Our outlooks differ, and in this parliament of free debate, we shall assuredly continue to argue over matters of fundamental import, sometimes fiercely so, but not today. On this day, I say to you with a full heart in the name of the opposition, Mr. Prime Minister, I salute you. I salute you for what you have done. I salute to the Minister of Defense, as indeed I do all members of the cabinet, and everyone else involved in the most difficult of decisions a nation's leaders can possibly make. But you, Mr. Prime Minister, you who are the leader of the team, and I have some knowledge of being a leader of a team, I say that while all your colleagues have a share in the decision-making responsibility, upon your shoulders rests an extra morsel of responsibility. And who can measure the weight of that extra morsel?" End quote. The unity felt in Jerusalem made manifest the spirit of the symbolism of the city. For as we have emphasized throughout this series, it is the familial bond that metaphysically links the Jewish people that also lies at the heart of the essence of the city itself. A city joining the territories of Judah and Benjamin, reminding us how in the book of Genesis, Judah had been willing to sacrifice himself for his brother Benjamin. And in 1976 in Jerusalem, the leaders of Israel celebrated the success of an operation that had saved so many, but they also remembered and mourned a heroic Yehudi, Yoni Netanyahu, who had given his life while fighting to save so many. All this, properly understood, lends a profound poignancy to the unity reflected in the moment when the central teaching of Jerusalem was reified in a way that was so powerful. It was the bond between Jews that was the subject of Menachem Begin's further reflections in his address to the Knesset on the 4th of July. Noting how the Jews on the Air France flight had been separated from the other passengers, Begin took note of the terrible parallel to an earlier moment in history, and he concluded with a message of Jewish responsibility that lies at the very heart of the city in which he spoke. As Yehuda Avner tells us, Begin said, quote, "And we asked ourselves, Ribono Shel Olam, God Almighty, hardly 30 years after the Auschwitz crematoria, that cemetery without end, with the image of Dr. Mengele still fresh in our minds, standing there among the rows of Jews, of the men and of the women, of the children and of the babies, pointing his finger to the right, to death, to the left, to life, and there was no one to save them. Well, now there is. Now we declare for all to hear, never again. Our generation has taken a solemn oath consecrated in the blood of our slain mothers, our butchered fathers, our asphyxiated babies, and our fallen brave. Never again will the blood of the Jew be shed with impunity. Never again will Jewish honor be easy prey." End quote. As Avner further tells us, Begin said, "We are no empire. We are but a small nation." And then Begin also added, "But after all that has befallen our nation throughout all the generations, and not least the generation of the Holocaust, we declare that if there be anyone anywhere who is persecuted or humiliated or threatened or abducted, or is in any way endangered simply because he or she is a Jew, then let the whole world know that we, Israel, the Jewish state, shall marshal all our strength to come to their aid and bring them to the safe haven of our homeland. This is the message of Entebbe." End quote. So Begin said in Jerusalem on the 4th of July. There would be many more moments marked in the Holy Land and in Jerusalem in the years to come. And there would be more extraordinary operations from the IDF. Indeed, Begin would himself order perhaps the most incredible of all, the strike on Osirak. But July 4th, 1976 was one of the greatest moments of unity felt in Israel in its history. And it should be remembered as a moment when the very essence of Jerusalem was reflected and existentially felt in the hearts of the Jews gathered there. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.